Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Carrie Weber.
Welcome back. You're listening to America This Week. I'm Carrie Weber, and I'm here with Father Matt Malone. We are now talking with the Reverend Canon Rhonda Lee about the best forms of support that the church might be able to provide for people with mental illness and people considering suicide. And Canon Rhonda mentioned before the break the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and we want to put that number out there if anyone is in need of it. It is 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. But if you would like to join our conversation here about these issues, you can call 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. And we invite you to consider how the church might provide better support for people who have mental illness, people who are considering suicide. And I think, Canon Rhonda, one of the things that you have as a religious leader is a spiritual context for these issues, but not everyone who is a religious leader also has sort of that psychological background or the mental health knowledge to meet people's needs. How can religious leaders sort of walk that line and between that spiritual counseling and then also directing people to maybe the medical or therapeutic needs that they might have as well?
Right. And after my mother died, I actually I received both pastoral counseling and went to someone trained, a counselor trained in psychology. And so I think it's important for clergy and lay religious leaders to have humility about, you know, what our field is, you know, and what our field is not. And to be able to say, I am not trained as a psychological counselor, so I am happy to listen to people, to listen to them express their grief, to ask them, pastoral questions, to pray with them, that sort of thing, to check in on them. But for any depression of their own, anxiety of their own, larger help resolving grief that sticks around for quite a while, which it often does with suicide, like with other violent death, then I would want to refer them to a psychological counselor who may be someone of a faith background also. But, I think most clergy and lay leaders try to keep a referral list. And if you're listening and you're clergy and you don't have one, please, ask your colleagues and start to develop one.
Right.
A referral list for psychologists, social workers, psychiatrists, and so forth. And so I think it's really important to have humility about what our sphere is and what it is not.
Right, exactly. And one of the things it's so important to be talking about this because, one of the things that you point out in your article is as of 2010, more Americans die by suicide than in car accidents. And that really struck me because, over the last 40 years of my life, I could name a dozen people that I knew who died in car accidents. And I can't name a dozen who died of suicide, but that doesn't mean that I don't know a dozen who died that way. And because I think in part, there's still a lot of secrecy and a lot of shame about it. And there's a lot of what is categorized as some other cause of death is actually suicidal. Is that your experience too?
That has been my experience, and because of my experience, I actually wonder whenever I read about single car accidents or things like that. I wonder. It's part of who I am. It's part of my experience. Was that actually a suicide? But there can be accidental deaths. There can be accidental deaths by drowning or by some kind of overdose, where the line is not clear, and so we tend to characterize it as an accidental death rather than a suicide because we don't know. Also, the cause of death can be denied. I remember when my mother died, although it was 20 years ago, I think it's still fairly common. Everyone around said, we can just say she had a heart attack. She was 52 years old. It's not implausible that she had a heart attack. And
right.
I said, no, we need to be truthful about this. We need, anyone who knew her might wonder. And those who didn't know her well enough might understand, wow, she seems like a really cheerful and compassionate and happy person, and yet she was struggling with this. Maybe there's a lesson there for me. And I also wanted anyone in the, I wanted to be able to give a warning too to anyone in the congregation or in her at her funeral or in her life who might be struggling with depression or know someone with depression. It can be a deadly disease. You know, a suicide is one of its possible outcomes. And so I wanted to be very clear that if this is going on in your life or the life of someone you love, please take it seriously, get help, just like I would if someone had diabetes or something like that, you know, a potentially fatal illness. So I wanted to be very open about it. Primarily for those reasons. I also didn't want to lie. You know, I thought there had been enough lying in our family about
sure.
disease. So I wanted to be truthful. I also wanted to pass on the little bit that I learned. I wanted there to be some good coming of her death, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also seems to me that one of the things that is that, you know, it happens when you're not honest about the cause of death is, I suppose, you imagine that you're somehow saving this person's reputation or the reputation of the
yeah,
family,
the
but you're also imprisoning their memory and your own grief, and because you can't talk out loud about what it is that you're experiencing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think it's really hard for other people to then speak up about it as well. If they, the fewer people that they know who experience, the more alone they might feel. And so we want to take a call now from Gerard. He's driving through North Dakota, I believe. Gerard, are you there?
Yes, I am. And I'm certainly no expert on, you know, mental illness or anything, but I think that, that some of the things that are probably, you know, involved with every suicide or attempted suicide or somebody considering it, is a lack of hope. So I think that, you know, that needs to be addressed. And, you know, in my own case, I had a situation where I think may not be that common, like maybe, I don't know, 10% or of people that are considering suicide may actually be what I feel was in my case like a diabolical possession kind of a thing. But I, not that I've been through any exorcism or anything, I did go to a confession and the priest laid hands on me, and I'm not suffering from the despair that I was feeling it before I went to confession recently. But I feel that I had something in there that was released, and now it's not an issue. Even though I have all the same problems, you know, and I'm suffering the same issues now that I was, you know, 2-3 months ago, I'm not falling into that despair. I feel that there's something that was in me that isn't there anymore. And I don't know, you know, I mean, people that are going to listen to this, I just want to encourage maybe if there are veterans out there, maybe that's something that's happened to them. Mm-hmm. I listened recently to, there was an interview with Dan Lord on EWTN, and he went himself through exorcism process, and you can read about it on, you know, if you look up Dan Lord on a web search or something. But,
but so, Gerard, you're in a more hopeful place today.
No, well, I'm not in a level of despair where the option is like, you know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and I was never really depressed, mm-hmm. but where I was is at a level of despair where, and what I feel, you know, this diabolical possession is that
okay.
the solution to all of my problems was to commit suicide, and, you know, I mean, that I came to in a very logical, and then after I went to, you know, confession, and I feel like I was, you know, had this release from me.
Okay.
I know that that's not where I need to go, and I've been, you know, freed of that, so.
Well, thank you, Gerard, for the call. You know, Ken and Rhonda, how do we do this? How do we make a discernment between, you know, what is the theological, what is the psychological? We do acknowledge that there is a force in the world that's contrary to the Holy Spirit, and how does all of that play out?
Yes. Well, Gerard, I'm glad that you are well and that you're able to call us today. So thanks be to God for that. I think it's not uncommon for people who are experiencing depression to feel like they are in the grip of evil, and that what I love about your story is that you were able to reach out, that evil was not greater than the love of God that drew you to your priest, and that your priest was there for you and was able, as you say, to lay hands on you. And so I would just encourage you, if you ever feel yourself in that position again, to reach out again. And then I think if we are in the presence of someone who feels, for whatever reason, that they want to destroy their life, that they want to bring their life to an end, they may not express that as clearly as Gerard was able to. It might be up to us to say, have you thought about harming yourself? Have you thought about bringing your life to an end? You're talking about overwhelming suffering. Have you thought about bringing your life to an end? And then we can affirm that we care about that person, that we do care. I know you feel alone. I know you feel hopeless. It all seems very hopeless right now. I care whether you live or die, and may I go to the emergency room with you. You know, it may come down to that, going with that person. Doesn't mean you can't lay on hands. You lay on hands, pray for God's healing, you know, while you're waiting for an ambulance or while you're going to the hospital. Absolutely. So I think my understanding is that there's two levels at least to it. And one can be, you know, biochemical, physical situation. And of course, there are forces in the world that wish our destruction, that are contrary to the Holy Spirit. And I think we need to take them seriously. So I would always try to deal with someone in despair on both those levels. Let's pray. Let's lay on hands. Let's seek other help when we need it. Another priest, your bishop, whatever, or whoever. And then also, let's see if there are some medical resources that may also be helpful.
Sure. Sure.
We have another caller now, Deanna from South Dakota. Deanna, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to America This Week. You're on with Father Matt Malone and Ken and Rhonda.
Thank you so much for having this topic on. I think it's so important, and I've enjoyed listening today. I was just telling the person that answered the phone, as I've tried to commit. And we have a mental illness. They've diagnosed that. And we have helped so many other people just by going through, even families. I have a friend now that has lost her son and her husband. And, you know, I have gone to her and talked to her and tried to relate how I felt during that time. And that was not them. That I honestly believe that was not them, you know, because she cannot understand why. You know, they didn't think of, I mean, that's the last thing on your mind is your family. It really is. And my son, when he tried to commit suicide, this was after I had done it or tried, and he kept thinking, the church always said, you know, suicide, you're damned to hell. Mm-hmm. Well, he always thought we were going to, you know, his mother was going to hell. And to this day, he's left the church. Right. I've been trying and trying to get him to talk to a priest or something on this, but I feel that I've gone through it for a reason. I'm in a whole lot better state, my mental and spiritual. I mean, the church has helped me so much, because I would not be here by the grace of God. I just would not be here.
Well,
because my faith has, I've gone to conventions on people with mental illness, and they said that the number one thing for them is their spirituality.
Yeah, I think that's, it speaks to that power of that community. It speaks to that power of what we can do when we kind of band together and we support each other in our struggles, and we recognize that all of us are struggling and all of us have things that we might need to talk to other people about. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that story.
Thank you very much, Deanna. We're very, very glad you're here, and we're very glad you called. Ken and Rhonda, you know, this is something that has also changed with our understanding of suicide, which is the church's own understanding of the theology that informs our thinking about this, right?
It is. And, of course, at one time, the church affirmed that suicides, people who committed suicide were condemned. That they, because historically, I think, from Aquinas and others, historically, repentance has been the issue. You know, if one dies in a state of mortal sin, if one kills another person but then can repent and be absolved, then that's one thing. But in killing oneself, there's a problem there with being both perpetrator and victim. And so I'm glad to be able to say that the church now has possibly a more nuanced understanding. I think Aquinas was dealing with a logical problem, which I completely understand. So that we are all sinners. We all stand in need of God's grace, and we hope that we are all covered by God's grace. And as you were saying earlier, Father Matt, we understand now too that we are limited by concepts of time, which do not limit God.
Right.
And so God being outside time while also acting in time for our benefit has all the time God needs to work our repentance and to show us mercy and to call us back to repentance. And, you know, we do see in many testimonies from people who have attempted suicide and survived that they did repent.
Right.
When they thought they were going to die, many have said, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have done this. And they have testified about that. And so I think that we have great reason to hope for the reunion of
right.
people who commit suicide, just like any other sinners, like myself, like any of us, because of God's great mercy and God having all the time God needs to call us back.
And as you point out in the article, the Catechism of the Catholic yeah. Church says today that, you know, grave psychological disturbances
yeah.
or other mitigating factors can diminish the responsibility of the one committing suicide. And by ways known to him alone, it says, God can provide the opportunity for salutary repentance.
Yes, I think it's important to realize that, you know, that response that we all live in a state of sin and a state of grace, and so we at least I would say that we all are sinners who are redeemed and loved by God, and so sometimes I think we get very hung up on the idea of a responsibility, and I do think it's important to say, yes, a person who kills him or herself makes something of a choice to do that. However, none of us is in a position to judge that, in part because of what we know about illness, because of what we know about the symptoms of mental illness and what they do to people, and that depressive thoughts, suicidal thoughts and suicidal action are a symptom of a disease. And so it's very important to realize that God is the judge of all of us, and that these mitigating factors are really known to him alone.
Right. Well, we have about 1 minute, Canon Rhonda. Your final thoughts on the subject?
I would just, again, like to affirm that God loves all of us. If anyone is listening who is in pain, who is grieving someone who's committed suicide, who is contemplating committing suicide, please reach out. If you are not in this state of pain, but you suspect that someone you know may be, please reach out to them. And please continue to be open about this. This is all of our concern. It really is a societal concern and a concern for the whole church. And all of us have a role to play, and we can only play it together. And as Carrie keeps emphasizing, in the community of the church, we will find comfort and also guidance for moving forward together.
Amen to that. And
indeed.
The article is called The Loneliest Choice, Puzzling Through Suicide's Sorrowful Mystery. And it is in the December 1st, 2014 issue of America Magazine. Canon Rhonda, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Father Matt. Thank you, Carrie. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.